From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, the number of births in South Korea jumps nearly 16% in June, marking the highest on-year growth rate to date. The Jeju police launch a task force to review all 298 missing persons cases handled by a jailed police officer who allegedly falsified records. And we hear from a former acting U.S. ambassador to South Korea about President Donald Trump's renewed drive to hold talks with Kim Jong-un. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Eileen Cahill. The number of births jumped nearly 16% in June, marking the highest on-year growth rate to date. According to data from the Ministry of Data and Statistics on Wednesday, 23,111 babies were born in June, up by a record 15.6% from a year earlier. The tally is the biggest for the month since 2019. The total fertility rate, which is the average number of children born to a woman over her lifetime, rose 0.11 from the previous year to 0.88. The number of babies born in the second quarter also surged, posting a seven-year high of 70,791 and a record 15.8% increase. The Jeju police have launched a task force to review all 298 missing persons cases handled by the police officer who allegedly thwarted the search for the late Jang Mi-ran by falsifying records to indicate she was safe. The Jeju Provincial Police Agency said Wednesday that the task force will review all missing persons cases handled by the jailed officer, surnamed Bu, at the Jeju Western Police Station from March last year through the end of July this year. The task force, headed by the chief of the agency's criminal affairs division, includes some 20 detectives and investigators who will check Bu's case records to see if they reflect how the cases were actually handled. The Jeju police are also conducting a separate, comprehensive review of all missing persons cases. Meanwhile, the body found in Halim-eup, Jeju City, on Monday, was identified as 37-year-old Jang Mi-ran, based on dental records, despite her fingerprints having deteriorated. U.S. President Donald Trump has again posted a message on social media saying he plans to substantially reduce joint military exercises with South Korea because they send a hostile signal to North Korea. The message, posted Tuesday on the Truth Social platform, read, "Based on my very good relationship with Kim Jong-un of North Korea, I was not happy with the fact that the United States had long ago agreed to participate in joint military exercises with South Korea." It was essentially the same statement that Trump issued last week and again included a jab at South Korea for staying out of the war in Iran. The post comes as Trump is seeking a meeting with the North Korean leader later this year, and a day after he posted old photos of himself with Kim during their first summit in Singapore in June 2018, and at their third and last meeting at the inter-Korean border village of Panmunjom in June 2019. KBS World Radio News' Korea 24 spoke with two foreign policy experts about U.S. President Donald Trump's renewed push for dialogue with North Korea. They said Trump could try to negotiate a cap on the number of warheads in North Korea's arsenal if the meeting does take place. The two experts also cautioned that North Korea might try to drive a wedge between the two allies in the process. Kim Bom-su has wrapped up the discussions with former acting U.S. ambassador to South Korea, Robert Rob Rapson, and foreign policy expert Dr. Kim Byung-ju.
Having been there at the center of this, the 2018...
Former acting U.S. ambassador to South Korea Robert Rapson says Trump is seeking to change the political narrative ahead of the November midterm elections.
I see this as really this effort to re-engage with Kim Jong-un as a part of a legacy, Trump's legacy. It's unfinished business from that time period that is now being further stimulated by the fact that he's... failing in Iran or hasn't achieved the kind of success he hoped for.
During an interview with KBS World Radio, Rapson also argued that Trump will try to negotiate a nuclear freeze or a cap on the number of warheads in North Korea's arsenal if the talks do take place.
You could see something like that progressing, a freeze, a cap. If denuclearization, the big assumption is denuclearization itself will not fly with Pyongyang and Kim Jong-un as an agenda item. If we insist on it, then we're back to square one and no talks or no engagements. So
insisting on CBID was a non-starter the whole time.
Retired professor of international relations Dr. Kim Byung-ju said Kim could eventually show up to a meeting in a bid to raise his country's status to that of a nuclear state.
This may be a high time to gain the something that they've been longing for such a long time, that is the nuclear state status being recognized by the President of the United States.
The two experts agreed that the North Korean leader might also try to drive a wedge between Seoul and Washington and advise the allies to coordinate closely moving forward.
What comes after Trump or what comes after the midterms or what comes after?
They also cautioned the South Korean government to keep the longer term in mind, saying if the Democrats take control of the House and the Senate, corrections will have to be made in foreign policy. Kim Bum-soo, KBS World Radio News.
Minor Reform Party leader Lee Jun-suk has resigned to take responsibility for his party's crushing defeat in the June 3rd local elections. Lee said during a press conference at the National Assembly on Wednesday that he had failed to secure sufficient support within the party for his proposed reforms since the election. The party chief said he takes full responsibility for failing to persuade party members. The Reform Party fell short of winning any of the 16 mayoral or gubernatorial posts or the 14 parliamentary seats in the concurrent by-elections, securing only one local council position. Party floor leader Chun Haram is expected to serve as acting chief for the time being. Multiple Russian military planes entered the Korea Air Defense Identification Zone on Tuesday, prompting the South Korean military to deploy fighter jets in response. Seoul's Joint Chiefs of Staff said Wednesday that several Russian aircraft entered, then left, the Kadis near Ulung Island and the Dokdo Islets in the East Sea the previous day. There was no violation of South Korean airspace. The Joint Chiefs said the military detected the aircraft before their entry and sent Air Force fighter jets to prevent any potential incidents. The number of students with migrant backgrounds attending elementary, middle, and high schools in South Korea has steadily increased, surpassing 210,000 this year. The Ministry of Education and the Korea Educational Development Institute on Wednesday announced the results of the 2026 Basic Education Statistics Survey, which included these findings. The term students with migrant backgrounds encompasses children of international marriages and those from foreign national families. The report also showed that the number of international students increased by more than 50,000 over the course of a year to exceed 300,000 for the first time. The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index rose 65.47 points, or 0.97%, on Wednesday, to close at 6,808.21. The tech-heavy KOSDAQ lost 0.28 points, or 0.03%, to close at 826.87. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Eileen Cahill. You can also catch our news from our website at world.kbs.co.kr.